Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team, too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the NSIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal. Let's go!
And a welcome on in, welcome on in. This is the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com, live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen, as we're sliding into home base here with Matt McClure live in studio. And that's actually an X reference. You could just see I just tweeted that out here a few short moments ago, at Fox Sports 1420 AM. I know that's one of Matt's favorite movies of all time, so we figured, hey, with our guest towards the bottom of the hour, it's absolutely appropriate. J.L. Aviles, he'll be joining us live in studio. That's coming up towards the bottom of the hour. Mark Stone, Aberdeen Roncalli track and field head coach, he'll be joining us quarter past the hour. Cobra, how are you, sir?
Doing good. I'm a big fan of that graphic there. Willie Mays Hayes sliding in safely at home.
You know what? My favorite, I shouldn't say favorite, but one of my most memorable moments of Major League, I can't recall if it's the first one or the second one. I think it's the first one, where he's trying to slide into second base and he's like 5 feet short.
That's the first one.
I was going to say, I think it's the first one. And and the guy's like, you want to come on over here, or you want to stop there? And I guess, you know, the rest is probably not radio appropriate for how that scene ends, but that's such a great movie. We got to have like a movie night here at Hub City Radio and just watch this movie.
You really do. My favorite Willie Mays Hayes scene is like the very beginning, when he's like, he sleeps through the first preseason workout, and then he's like, they're doing sprints and he's in his pajamas and he beats the two guys that were racing. That scene's so funny. It's like in slow-mo.
Yes.
And then he goes to batting practice the first day, and he's hitting pop-ups, like foul ball pop-ups.
Straight upwards. Yep.
And like, Lou Brown asked him, why are you hitting them? Why hit them on the ground? Every time you hit one in the air, you owe me 50 push-ups.
Oh, man. It's an all-time classic movie for sure. And we're just getting closer and closer to the day where they just reprise that movie, right? I mean,
yeah.
We're living in a day and age of basically nothing new. Nothing's original in Hollywood. So at what point in time do we see Major League, what would it
the
be,
remake.
Four? Is it, because there's three, right? Or is there just two?
There's three.
Three.
There's three. I think the third one's like a minor league.
Yeah.
No one's seen the third one.
Mm-hmm. Straight to DVD.
Yes. Straight to DVD. The second one, to me, is underrated. A lot of people don't like the second one. I love the second one.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Parkman. I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah.
I saw a scene where he's like leaving the team. This showed up on my feed yesterday because the Orioles stink. And it was like Jack Parkman. He's like leaving the team. He's like, I'm the only winner on the team. The rest of these guys are losers.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny.
Yeah, it's an all-timer, man. Absolute all-timer. But yeah, I mean, here we are live at 10:04 on Tuesday, May the 20th, the year of our Lord 2025. It's going to happen at some point in time. Write this down, Major League 4. It'll be a thing. Don't know when, don't know what year. Charlie Sheen, hopefully, the Wild Thing will be back reprising his role.
Maybe the 50th year anniversary because that movie came out in 1980.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow, 1980?
Yeah.
Whew, that's crazy. Didn't realize it was that old.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm. All-time classic. All right, Matt McClure is, of course, none other than the Cobra. Let's toss this thing skyward for the jump here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. We also call him Mr. Unlimited. I could have the sounder, but I forgot to drag it in this morning. So, not trying to cheap you guys out there, but that's the way it goes sometimes. Hey, it's a live show after all. So, speaking of baseball, a couple things piqued my interest this morning. Again, Mark Stone, Aberdeen Roncalli track and field head coach. He'll be joining us here in 10 minutes. And then JL Aviles towards the bottom of the hour talking some Aberdeen Smitty's baseball presented by Culver's of Aberdeen. So even people that aren't Major League Baseball fans, they know who Paul Skeens is. You know, Paul Skeens, of course, he's got a very, very pretty girlfriend in Olivia Dunn. Livy Dunn?
Yep,
Olivia.
You got it right.
Yeah, right. So she's a quite fetching young lass, and Paul Skeens is a pretty doggone good pitcher as well. But the problem with Paul Skeens is, speaking of being on a team with a bunch of losers, when he pitches, nobody else picks up the slack. Nobody else picks up the slack. Paul Skeens, the other day, went 8 innings of good solid work, surrendered 3 hits, struck out 9, and the Pirates lost 1-0. Just really, really tough. This is an unbelievable stat. I saw this on social media. This is the 6th time that the Pirates have lost when Paul Skeens has allowed 1 run or fewer. Guy that says this stat on social media, Andrew Filippani, says, hey, that shouldn't happen in an entire career. It's happened 6 times in 33 starts for Paul Skeens.
He's getting the Jacob DeGrom effect right now. When DeGrom used to pitch for the Mets, he'd lose games all the time, like 2-1, and you're like, hey, can we get any kind of run support at all?
Yeah.
Skeens is pitching spectacular. He's very frustrated to start the season there in Pittsburgh. It hasn't been a great start to the season, and what this just tells me is he won't be there long term. We'll see him in pinstripes here in the not-too-distant future. This is what all this is telling me, just because he's not going to be there. He's going to go to a bigger market, and he's going to dominate, but feel bad for the guy because he's pitching incredible. But when you have 0 run support and the team around you stinks, there's only so much you can do.
Take it to the bank. Yeah, that's going to be a guy wearing pinstripes here in the not-too-distant future. I think that's a pretty good assessment. And I always, Matt, talk about Jeff Samardzija. Remember? I think it was even the other day we were talking about he had a season, I think it was off the air. I was like, yeah, you know, It just goes to show you that you can do all of the right things as a pitcher, but if you're not getting any run support, it's no good. And I actually looked up the year that I've always been referencing. I've referenced it more than once on these fair airwaves. And the year was 2014. Jeff Samardzija was pitching for the Chicago Cubs. He did not get his first win that year until his 11th start.
Huh.
And he had an ERA at 1.68. His first start, lost 1-0. 7 innings of solid work, 5 hits. Second game he pitched, they lose 2-0. He goes 7 innings, strikes out 8. Third game that he pitches in, they won, but he was out of the game. The offense didn't pick it up until later on in the game, so he didn't get the decision. He lost another game 4-1, another game 3-2, another one 4-3. Just not a whole lot of run support. Again, he didn't get his first win until his 11th start, and at that time he had an ERA of 1.68, and his ERA never went north of 2 in the first 11 starts of the season. So you're like, oh, this guy's got a really bad record. He's no good. No. ERA, that's what you really need to look at.
ERA's the golden stat for pitchers, no doubt about it. That and, like, whip.
Yeah.
And you just looking at this Pirates team, they're 15-33. I mean, that's one of the worst leagues in all of the National League. They're not as bad as the Rockies, who are 8-39. I don't know what's going on in the Rock World right now.
Nobody's worse than the Rockies. Right now.
The Rock World right now is awful at 8-39. But 15-33, that should be a little bit better, considering you have the best. I mean, this guy's the best pitcher in baseball. He's in his second year. I mean, just look at the numbers. Look at the life on his fastball. He goes deep into ball games. If he stays healthy, he's going to be one of the best pitchers in the game in the next 5 to 10 years. He's incredible to watch. You're not watching Pirates games, and to be frank, they're not on national television. But if you do have the opportunity to watch him pitch, he's pretty spectacular. I went to a Pirates game last year. He was pitching. It really wasn't his best outing, though. He only threw 5 innings. I'm like, come on, man. We see 7-8 innings all year, and then the game I go to, you only go 5 strong. Come on.
Naturally, Cobra's in the house. He has a tough go about it. But what's that scene? I think it's a meme on social media. I think it's – I'm not a big SpongeBob guy, but I think it's Squidward, like, pointing at somebody.
Yeah.
That's the meme, like, Yankee. Going to be a Yankee.
Yeah, he's 100%.
Going to be a Yankee at some point in time. Take that one to the bank for sure. And speaking of taking things to the bank, in the last 20-plus years, you could bet your bottom dollar that the Western Conference Finals is going to be in either L.A. or more. Let me walk that back. It's either going to be in California or Texas. This year, between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Minnesota Timberwolves, this is the first year, get this, the first year that the Western Conference Finals will be out of the states of Texas or California since 1996.
What?
Yes. It's always been the Lakers or the Warriors, the Spurs, Rockets, or Mavericks. So this is the first year since 1996 that the Western Conference Finals, which of course gets underway tonight with the Timberwolves and Thunder, that gets underway tonight. It'll be in Oklahoma. First time since 1996.
Wow.
I think Clinton was president at the time. Bill Clinton was president. It's always been the Lakers, the Warriors, Spurs, Rockets, or Mavericks. So the first time since 1996 that the Western Conference Finals are outside of either Texas or California. Wow.
That is a great stat. That's 28 years. And like you said, you know, you forget about how good those Spurs teams were in the mid-2000s.
Yeah.
They went to the finals all the time. For me, I just forget them for some reason. The Spurs, the Rockets, when they had Harden for forever, they could never beat Golden State, who obviously ran the 2010. So now that you think about it, it really doesn't come as a surprise. Of course, the Lakers there when Kobe and Shaq and all those guys were there in the early 2000s and even to the late 2000s. I mean, they won one, I think, in 2010, got there in 2008. So, yeah, it makes sense, really, when you do a little bit of a deeper dive.
Yeah, it does. And you always hear it whenever you're listening to sports talk radio. It's kind of, I don't want to say it's a lazy thing to say, because that's not true. But I always kind of thought to myself, find myself yelling at the radio whenever the broadcaster says it. It's good for fill in the blank. Oh, this is good for baseball when so-and-so does this. It's good for football when this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I think this is kind of good for basketball when it's not always the same handful of teams. A little diversity, please. Some of the smaller markets bubbling up. I think that's quote-unquote good for basketball. A guy like me.
I think so because, I mean, since I feel like 2020, there's been a little bit more parity in the league. I mean, you look at what Golden State was doing there for the longest time. It seemed like they could punch their ticket to the NBA Finals or the Western Conference Finals. So you're starting to see some different teams. And I think you said a stat last year basically saying that it's going to be a different champion each year. I think that's over the last 5 years.
You said that
stat last year during the finals. So you're going to see another champion with Boston coming out. And you got some small market teams in there. Like you said, Minnesota, Oklahoma City, these are some young teams on the rise. Maybe not the sexy pick for teams, but I'm into it. I got to tell you, I'm into that. And a little old school deal in New York and Indiana from the 90s, I mean, that's a pretty fun little series there as well.
You know, this might get me watching the NBA again. This is crazy. This actually might do it. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Coming up next, Mark Stone, the head coach of the Aberdeen Roncalli Track and Field Squad. He'll be joining us. J.L. Aviles, he'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour in studio live on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Translation, if you're just listening to that weather, perfect weather if you are like a duck or something like that, or if you love living in Puget Sound. J.L. Aviles, he'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour, talking some Aberdeen Roncalli Track and Field here with head coach Mark Stone of the Cavaliers squad. He joins us on the phone line. Coach, good to talk with you this morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. This is much needed moisture, but it's not good for outdoor track and field and spring sports.
No, it's really not. I mean, Matt and I were talking off the air. You guys have had basically a nice like little vacation here. I mean, you guys haven't done a whole heck of a lot. Just the Al Sally invite about 11 days or so ago. You've had some nice, I don't want to say deserved time. Well, maybe it is deserved. I don't know. But it's been quite a ways since you guys have been competing.
Yeah, you know, right. You're right, Tukes. And, you know, there's in life, you just try to control what you can and let everything else go. And the weather's one of those things that we can't control. So like all the other teams and spring teams, we just do the best we can and make the best of what Mother Nature gives us. But you're right. Suddenly we find ourselves a little late in the season. Two track meets to go for us, like a lot of teams. The end of this week will probably be a flurry of track meets across the state, and you'll see a lot of change in that top 24 and a lot of change in some of those leaders. So we're looking forward to competing late in the week and hope the rain will hold off a little bit for us then.
So when you practice or when it's raining out, do you do a lot of practicing indoors then during times like this, or how does this all work?
That's a good question, and it's a little complicated. You know, there's some things we can do outside, even when it's a little wet. Others, not so much. Our gymnasium, our hallways, and some of that get a pretty good workout when we're forced inside. We also have had the opportunity from time to time to be at the Dome over on the campus of PC, and that's been really a blessing to be able to be there. So we just do what we can, and we're not afraid to get wet. But there's some events it's just not reasonable to be outside when it's raining like that. Actually, it wouldn't even be safe to do that. You know, things like the pole vault, discus, some of the jumps, the hurdles. There's some events that it's just not. It wouldn't be safe, and we wouldn't want to put our kids in a spot where we could maybe have an injury that we could otherwise avoid.
Also, throwing the shot put or the discus indoors, probably not the best idea. You know, you got some holes in the new gym floor. Probably not a good idea, right?
You know, the basketball coaches and the volleyball coaches do not appreciate the implements landing on the gym floor. That's true. So true.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, looking forward to the rest of the season here. Mark Stone joining us on Fox Sports Aberdeen, head coach of the Aberdeen Ron Colley Cavalier Trek and Field Squad. And by the way, maybe you can help me out on this, Coach. Is canceled with two L's or one? I see it spelled both ways. It's kind of like theater. You know, theater is spelled two ways, all kinds of do you have any insight on that?
I'm a Gettysburg graduate, and I'm a little afraid to rely on my many years ago English training. I also have seen it spelled both ways. But at the risk of being corrected throughout the rest of the day, I'm gonna pass on whether it's a 1L or 2. I've probably written it both ways. But either way, whether it shows up with 1L or 2, when something's canceled, we know it isn't going to happen.
Well, Tukes, I did some research on that, actually, as you were asking that question. So it's more – or it's common in American English with 1L. In British English, it's common with 2Ls.
Okay.
But I guess we should use 1 then.
But it's common – but either way is correct, if you will.
So we can't be wrong, but I'm with you, Coach. I'm going to start spelling it with 1L now, because we're American here. We're not British. We're not drinking tea and crumpets or anything like that. No red coats. So
That's right. The British are coming.
Yeah. So we'll start spelling it with just 1L there. But it's been a really successful season for you guys. Numbers are outstanding on the guys' side, in particular with just overall roster depth. Can you kind of talk about some of the great success that you guys have had this season, particularly on the guys' side of things for the squad?
Well, you're right. Our numbers on the guys' team are a little bigger than on the girls' team. And you know, if you do something long enough, sports are always cyclical, right? Some years we have maybe better numbers on the girls' side and not on the boys. This particular year, we just have a few more on the boys' varsity. I'd be remiss if I didn't point out we just have a really large senior class. We've got about 15 seniors, and I think if you paid attention to Class A track and field, that would be a pretty big number of seniors. I say this respectfully to seniors because I was once a senior, but you know, it's pretty easy when it's the last season of your senior year, no matter what it is. It could be tennis, could be golf, could be track, could be baseball, could be golf. It's pretty easy not to stick with that. You know, you got your eye on graduation, you got your eye on summer, you got your eye on the fall, whatever is planned for you or whatever you're planning for yourself. And it's pretty easy to do that. We've had I just can't say enough about our seniors this year, not just the size of the group And it's not necessarily filled with a bunch of superstars, but just really, really good kids that have set a tremendous example for us in a lot of ways, a lot of small ways, just things that you would hope to get from your seniors. So we're really proud of those kids, and I'm proud of all of them. But in particular, we have a big senior class, and a pretty big sophomore class. Juniors, not as many as we'd like. Freshmen, even a little, we'd like a little more too. But, you know, again, that's coaching includes many things. One of them is to continually encourage and invite young people to participate and to be active. And so that's a challenge for us, and we're going to embrace that challenge and keep working on that. And we, on the other hand, if you look at our total numbers this year, middle school and high school combined, we're about 105. So that's good numbers for us. Now the challenge is to keep those young kids out and keep them out while they're in high school, and to value what they do, and to help them feel like track and field is right where they ought to be.
Well, shout out to those seniors on their leadership and the example they set there, Coach. And, you know, I was looking at some of the results there from the Al Sali invite. I know that was a couple weeks ago, but it looks like that 4x100 relay for the boys with Behan, Grieben, Fisher, and Weinmeister, they got a PR in that, finished fourth. Yeah. I mean, that's big time.
Yeah, it is. And we, you know, if you just did a little quick look at, and you guys are probably familiar with, a little bit with how they do this, but, you know, at the end of the season, basically Friday night this week, all track meets have to be final. All results have to be posted. And if individuals and relays are in the top 24 by Friday night or the end of, by Saturday morning, might be more accurate, then those are the people who qualify for the state track meet. We have some that are well within that 24, and we have quite a few that are like 20 to 24 to 25 to 27. So we're going to really try to target that. Obviously, our goal is to take as many kids as we can to the state track meet. So it'll be an exciting couple days at the end of the week.
Mark Stone here, Fox Sports Aberdeen. Easy follow-up. Who's on the cusp? I mean, who's right on that cut line that you're kind of looking forward to, and what events are we looking at?
Well, good question. And here's a few. We got three boys relays, the 4x1, the 4x2, and the 4x4, who are right on that cut mark. But we do feel like we haven't run our best yet, but maybe a lot of teams feel that way. But we're going to run those strong. We got some throwers, John Anthony Thomas in the shot, the younger Grieben Riker in the high jump, Quentin Shelton in the triple jump, Isaac Price in the vault, Parker Grieben in both hurdles, Brody Weinmeister 400. On the guy side, on the lady side, we got a medley relay that's really close. Riley Voller in the disc, Matea Henrich in the vault, Gabby Thomas triple jump, Hazel Canigator 400. Those are, some of those kids are well within the 24. Some are right on the fringe, and maybe there'd be others that we can squeeze in there on Thursday and Friday. But those are kind of the kids in the relays where we're at the moment, where it looks like they either have, they can probably be assured. Nothing's assured, right? But they're well within the 24, and the others are close enough that I think we can make a push and get some of those qualified.
Coach, do you feel like, you know, the time off has maybe helped your crew a little bit? Because we've talked to a good amount of coaches in track and field, and they say, hey, we're dealing with some things. We're not completely healthy, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Where do you guys fit into that? And do you think this time off, I know obviously you want to be out there and competing, but do you think this time off due to the weather has helped you guys a bit?
Well, I do. I'm kind of an old school coach. I've been at this for a while, and I tend to have my finger on the go button all the time. And sometimes to a fault, train and work. And sometimes Mother Nature provides an unexpected, unanticipated break. And from that, you know, good can come from that. Plus, we have to remind ourselves that a lot of the other schools in the area are in a similar situation. Nobody's favored by the weather. Nobody's punished by the weather more than others. We just do what we can and make the best of it. And it is an opportunity to to kind of redo and reshape what we're doing on those days, and maybe a little break is a welcome break in there too. So I think it can be good.
Well, continued success and good luck this upcoming Thursday there in Webster, and then of course on Friday down south in Warner. And first check of the forecast, Thursday looks pretty decent, cloudy, not a whole lot of wind, temps in the low 60s, so I think that'll be a really nice day. Friday, a little dicey yet, as you've got temperatures in the low 60s, but also a 40% chance for showers.
Right.
So we'll have to wait and see how that all plays out. But I would guess you guys will do just about anything to get all those events in, or at least pretty close to.
We're that's our focus, and that's really our attention this week. And to see, it's our last opportunity, like it is for everybody. And we've got a great group of kids and just an exceptional group of coaches. I wouldn't say that just because I have the opportunity this morning to do that, but I've coached track about 40 years, and this is as good a group of coaches as we've had a chance to work with and have assembled, and working with our kids. And I should say also, I'm a co-coach with Sarah Lux. Sarah is an expectant mom, and she's going to have twins any day now.
Oh,
wow. So that's super exciting for us. That'll be a little track and field celebration apart from the field events and the track events when Coach and her husband have those new little babies. But and Matt, I want to say welcome. I heard you're going to be part of the Round Collie family a little bit here in the future.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate that. And, Scott's, he came on the show here yesterday and mentioned that he's stepping down. And big shoes to fill for sure. And I'm looking forward and excited to the opportunity. Thanks a lot for that.
I heard Scott say it, Matt, and all schools should say this, and they should mean it when they say it. But I would echo what Scott told you, and that is, you'll just find a really an exceptional group of people. You'll find a lot of good young people, a lot of wonderful parents. Round Collie is a really special place.
All right. Well, I think Matt's looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to listening to Matt over on Pheasant Country 103, and looking forward to those twins being born. Hopefully that's a Saturday. Hopefully that's a Saturday deal. Let's not make that on Thursday or Friday. We've got a couple events we got to get taken care of here first. But appreciate you doing this, Coach Mark Stone, and Godspeed, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it very much.
Thanks, Coach.
Absolutely. Mark Stone here, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. Are you feeling – do we need to play some Elton John right now? Can you feel the love tonight? I feel like, you're feeling pretty welcome over there at Round Collie. You're never even there yet.
No, appreciate the support. I threw something on my Facebook and X, and people saying congratulations, looking forward to it. And like I said, I'm just really excited for the opportunity to work with the folks there, and ready to get going here in the late summer, early fall, man.
Well, speaking of getting going, it's still a couple of weeks out, or a week and a half out yet, for the Aberdeen Smitties for their Legion season. JL Aviles will be joining us live in studio, presented by Culver's of Aberdeen, after this. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial. Our thanks to Mark Stone, taking time out of his schedule and joining us as we go from the track and field side of things to the diamond. JL Aviles joining us live in studio. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. I'm pretty good. I'm thankful for the opportunity. I was not ready for it. I woke up, saw a text from Ganelli. I was like, yeah, sure, I'll be there.
I'm like, hey, we got that 10:30 spot a little open there a little bit. So I figured, why not talk a little Smitty's baseball? And Matt and I were talking, was it this week or last week? We're like,
last week.
We got a crush on JL Aviles. This guy is just an incredible baseball player. So we figured, why not reach out to you and talk some baseball? Does that sound good to you?
Yeah, sounds good.
Absolutely. Well, the season unfortunately coming to a close here this last weekend down south in Sioux Falls, but kind of an up-and-down season. We saw the offense really explode for 20-plus there early. I know kind of midway through the season, some downs. That's just the nature of baseball. Overall, what's your kind of thoughts on the high school season?
I thought it was pretty good for just our first year, having young teammates. But I think it was just a learning experience of just learning how to get ready for Legion ball in the summer and what things we could do better. So I think it was just a good preview just to get ready for Legion ball.
Yeah, and I think it helps young athletes, especially at the baseball level, right, JL, seeing live pitching, because sometimes you wait to the summer season and it's like, here we go. Some teams that have had that high school season, they're kind of already ready to go. So can you kind of talk about how being able to see live pitching helps you, you know, go into the Legion season.
Yeah, that helped a lot, I think, because if we would have just waited till summer, we would have, like, first practices, in the spring, it was difficult. We couldn't hit. We couldn't fail. We just had to get back in the groove. So I think it's having the high school season help us, like, just feel like a team, be ready. And just now, we just keep continuing to the summer and not feel like, oh, it's brand new, get nerves or nothing. Just get used to it. We're already used to it. So just go out there and play.
You know, on the major league side of things, baseball's an everyday thing. I mean, obviously, even in high school and Legion, you're still practicing every day when you don't have games. Is it tough to have this amount of time off? Because, you know, you talk about seeing live pitching and, you know, you're just always kind of in that zone. Being off for, you know, about a week and a half, 2 weeks or so, is that tough for a baseball player or not so much for you guys just because you're still young?
It's tough. It's tough. It was tough when we didn't have the facility. But now since we have the inside, the indoor facility, we can go in there and get some hits. So, yeah, but it's tough. You just get in the groove of it. Just you're rusty. You got to get back swings and all that. But, yeah, with the facility, it has definitely helped a lot.
You made some really great plays in center field, and I said this a couple times. You know, a fly ball hit to your area, you were able to make some amazing plays that maybe if it's another center fielder's playing it, it might be a hit. So can you just talk about your range out there in center? It's pretty spectacular what you're able to do gap to gap.
Yeah, I was actually talking to my dad about this like a week ago. It was just him. He bought a tennis racket and just tennis balls, and that was how I just learned how to track balls. And yeah, it wasn't even a baseball. It was just a tennis ball and a tennis racket.
Wow.
So, yeah.
See, when I was a kid, we used to do kind of the same thing in the backyard. Our neighbors had a fence, and it was almost always, we got to go rob home runs. Did you do that when you were a kid growing up with a neighbor or something like that,
friends,
just robbing
my cousins,
home runs?
Yeah, me and my cousin used to always just be really big into baseball. So all the time, we didn't play with toys or nothing. It was just baseball, baseball, baseball. So, yeah, since a young age, we were robbing home runs, pickle, stealing, and all that. So, yeah.
As a leadoff guy, you had a great season, kind of leading things off in the batting order all season long. Can you talk about just your approach to the plate there, being the leadoff guy? What I noticed is you did a good job using all fields. Like, you had that left center field gap power, but also you just found a way to get on base a lot. Can you talk about your approach there at the leadoff spot?
Yeah, my approach first time I go up to hit is find any way to get on base. That's what my dad has always taught me. He always used to get mad at me for not swinging first pitch, or I'll think about it. Oh, I don't want to get out. But he's put that mindset on me that I'll probably only get one strike in that at bat. So if that's your pitch, just go ahead and swing it. And then if I'm behind on the count, just I have a two strike approach. So I switch it up and just stay focused. And if I can get a walk, then get a walk.
Jay Villas joining us here live in studio. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's my mindset. Just find any way, because I know that I'm fast and I have the speed. So if I can get a walk and steal and just put myself in for other guys to score me in, then I'll do that.
When you'd be at first, would Ganelli give you the green light then
to
steal second a lot? Or?
Yeah. I trust myself. He always trusts me. I would just ask him. Even at third or something, he would be like, yeah, just I trust you. You do whatever you want. If you have confidence in yourself and you think you can make it, just trust yourself.
It's a player's coach right there. That's a guy that you want to have as your skip. It's like, you know what? You feel like you can make it happen, make it happen.
It's like probably like, hey, we don't need the sign.
Yeah.
You know, usually they get the sign to steal at second base when he's on first. There is no need for a sign. He's so fast.
Green light is always on, for sure. Jay Villas joining us here live in studio, Aberdeen Smitty's high school and Legion baller here. Was it always baseball for you? I mean, you talked about your dad was a big baseball. What was kind of his background? And was it also in baseball, or were you always just strictly baseball? You didn't play any too many other sports or anything growing up?
Yeah, well, since being from Puerto Rico, that's the biggest sport there. So, yeah, since I was little, I started baseball around 3-4 years old. And that's how I just fell in love ever since. I was practicing. Even, like, weather like this, I would start crying when they would cancel practice or something. So, yeah, it's always been a big part of me and my family.
Gotcha.
So, have you always played outfield? Is that kind of your main position there?
I actually used to play first base in Puerto Rico. And then when I got here is when I started 9 years ago, so I started playing center field.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't seem like the tallest guy to be playing first base, yeah. So it feels like outfield probably a little bit more your speed, yeah. But you've got the speed, so you can literally cover all the ground. Do you have a favorite player kind of growing up that you pattern your style off of, whether that's defensively or offensively at the plate?
It's more based around Javier Baez.
Yeah.
It's always been my guy, and I just, when I'm on the bases, that's who I try to play like, run like, and just be like, because I know he's confident in himself, and the things he does is the things that I try to do on the diamond and just make the game fun.
So it feels like sometimes at center field when you were making some of those catches, you would kind of call off the right fielder, the left fielder, because you knew that you were going to be able to make the catch. I remember a ball that was, you know, right at right field, and you came over and made a play on it. Is that kind of just how you were taught? Anything kind of hit near me, I'm going to make a play on it?
Yeah, I practice and everything. I just trust myself. I know how much ground I can cover, and I trust myself. And then thanks to my teammates, they trust myself. So a lot of them have told me, if you can get there, just cut me out, and I'll let you do it. So, yeah, I just trust myself. I know I put the work in, and I know what I can do.
They don't get mad at you at all for, no. Like, snaking foul balls or fly balls, rather?
No, they laugh. We laugh together, but they trust me. Like, Carson Borg is one of them. He's like, yeah, if you just help me, if I can see the ball or something, just call me off, and you can go get it.
Yeah, so, you know, you talked about how, Tuke said it, the offense kind of got going to start the year. And then there was a little rough patch there in the middle of the year. The competition stiffened up a little bit. Just kind of your overall thoughts from that perspective when some of the teams you played got better, you tried to raise your level. How do you think you did that as a whole?
I think we did pretty good. I thought we could do better as just putting ourselves with our other teams and knowing that we should be there. Because I think a lot of times our mindset wasn't where it should be, and we would – get nervous or something, but that's something that Ganelli wants us to work on, and we're going to work on throughout the summer, just knowing that we should be there and that we can match up with those good teams, those number one seed teams, and that we should be there and just can hold and win games against those people.
A couple more here with J.L. Avilas on Fox Sports Everdeen, 1420 and 98.5. You referenced Pickle earlier. Now, I recall Pickle when I used to play, pickup back in the day. Is that the one where you've got basically two guys on each side and you've got a base runner in between? Can you walk the listener through the game of Pickle?
Yeah, I always played it with my cousins and all that, and it's one of my favorite things about baseball. I don't know if you guys saw the game, but I got on a couple of them, and somehow I got it out of them. But, yeah, it's fun.
It's like a rundown game.
A rundown game. That's where you have two guys, and you just try not to get out, and, yeah, fun game that I used to play with my cousins and back home.
So you probably like it when the guy throws it to the base because it gives you time to get to the base. And I've always been taught, hey, if you got a guy in a rundown, you want to run right at him and make him make a decision. So you probably like it when a guy if you're in between second and third, the pitcher throws it to second because you can get the third pretty easily.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I like it. It's fun. I like making the game of baseball fun and just making the fans enjoy it. And that's what I was just thinking about. Pickles or like stealing, or if they pick off to first and I'm at third, go home, or just make the game fun and just like help the fans enjoy it and want to be there.
Well, of course, that's Javier Baez. One of his most famous plays was when he was with the Cubs, and somehow, some way, I think he hit the ground ball to the first base side, and somehow he
was against the Pirates.
Against the Pirates, ironically enough. Yeah, we were talking about Paul Skeens earlier. A couple more here with you. Again, thanks for taking some time and joining us. What's your game day routine like? Are you a pretty laid-back guy? Do you have a couple of superstitions that you have to do? We had Gannon May in here. He always said he has to have a purple Gatorade before he competes. What's your kind of game day routine?
Mine is just I like stretching a lot, stretching, feeling loose, and then when it's – before the game, I hit. I do one-hand swings, and then I shorten up the bat a lot and just get barrel control and stuff like that. But the only thing, and it's not even that thing, but it's just having eye black. I feel like if I don't have eye black, I just can't play for some reason. But, yeah, that's the only thing, just having eye black. Oh, and prayers. I pray a lot. I started praying with my team And yeah, just those two things.
You a T or soft toss guy? Which one do you like better?
T. Yeah, T. I focus a lot on T and just barrel control and just staying down. I don't, when I'm doing like BP or something, I don't try to full swing or nothing. Just get the barrel control and just barrel the ball first and get the hang of it, and then that's pretty much all I do.
Does eye black actually help, or is that just a look?
I think it's just a look. Yeah, since I was little, it's been a big part, so yeah.
You a shades guy then,
yeah,
too, as well?
Yeah,
you like
yeah.
The shade? I mean, it is a clean look. The shades with the eye black?
Yeah.
Come on now.
It is. It is a good look. But the thing is, you got to wear the shades.
Yeah.
You know, especially playing center field when you have to look up at the sun. Shades on the top of your hat, that doesn't do you a darn bit of good. So you actually got to wear them.
Yeah, I wear them a lot. Even when it's not sunny or something, I just feel like it helps me just finding the dark spot in the sky. So, yeah, I always wear them. I wear them to hit sometimes, too. So, yeah.
All right. You got any more over there, Cobra?
Well, I was just curious about the batting practice thing. You mentioned barrel control. Is there, like, some batting practice things where you're like, hey, I'm not even going to try to pull a ball here. I'm just going to try to hit it every ball to the left center field or center field. Do you kind of do those kinds of different things at batting practice?
Yeah, I do. Actually, yesterday I was working on trying to pull the ball because I don't know if you guys have noticed, but I'm a opposite field guy.
Yeah, you see, you are.
So yeah, I'm just working on trying to pull the ball more, and then yeah, when I'm with my friends or something, I'm just trying to go oppo or middle or pull the ball. So yeah, yesterday I was just trying to focus on pulling the ball to my side and getting more hits that way.
Well, looking forward to the season getting underway here on Wednesday the 28th. That's 1 week from tomorrow. That'll be at Fossum Field there against the Watertown Post 17 squad, if memory serves correctly. So looking forward to that twin bill, 5 and 7 o'clock with Ryan Martin on the call, presented by Culver's Vabberdeen. Thanks for popping in studio here. Good luck this upcoming summer.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely. J.L. Avilas joining us here live in studio, Fox Sports Aberdeen, presented by Culver's Vabberdeen. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Final segment for you here today on FSA. Our thanks to Mark Stone for joining us, as well as J.L. Avilas there as well. And if you've not already, go ahead and share that stream, smash that like button, and share the stream. I mean, we saw a lot of shares on yesterday's installment of the Sports Hub, and we appreciate the folks at Aberdeen Ron Colley for doing just that. So go ahead and smash that like button and share the stream. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. Glad to be with you on this Tuesday installment of the Sports Hub. Coming up tomorrow, Olivia Braun. She'll be joining us live in studio. Great local golfer from Aberdeen Central. Looking forward with that discussion with her. And again, the weather is... Well, the weather outside is weather. It's definitely thrown a couple of monkey wrenches into some of the events from yesterday. Dial-A-Move track and field event, of course, got postponed to Friday. Hamlin invite was canceled for high school track and field. But not a bad start for the Aberdeen Ron Colley boys tennis squad. They're sitting in sixth place out of 11 squads in the Class A state tournament. As in Flight 1 singles, Gannon May is going for a championship here today.
There you go. Get that... What is it, purple Gatorade going here today?
That's right. Got to get that for sure. You got a couple of fifth-place bouts with Ezra Feichert, Linus Johnson, Ben Goble, Caleb Stokes all playing for fifth place there. Check out HubCityRadio.com for more details. And a nice effort yesterday from Kaylee Kiso as the Aberdeen Central softball squad. They down OG 5-4. They're back in action today against Harrisburg from the Dome, 4 o'clock.